Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. Coming to you from Tehran, I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, will the yes vote of the majority of those casting their vote be enough to implement a new constitution and heal the Egyptian society? Has Egypt just taken another big step towards implementing law and order and fairness, or has the country just taken a step back in time, as some on the opposition claim? Well, stay with us on this news analysis as we look at the results of the referendum and what it may mean for the future of Egypt.
Supporters of President Mohamed Morsi say it's another step in Egypt's transition towards democracy. The Muslim Brotherhood says more than 70% of the electorate has voted yes in the second round of the constitutional referendum. The Brotherhood says 64% of voters backed the charter after two rounds of voting. The movement cited an unofficial tally. Official results are due on Monday. If the outcome is confirmed, a parliamentary election will follow in about 2 months. Supporters of President Mohamed Morsi are pleased with the unofficial results. The opposition and their supporters, however, have begun to cry foul. They say the vote was rigged. The opposition had earlier mobilized its supporters to go to the polls and vote no to a constitution that they say belongs only to the Muslim Brotherhood.
This constitution causes division between Egyptians. The announced results did not show a yes. It did not even approach two-thirds of the votes. That means that this constitution did not get acceptance among the Egyptians.
One opposition supporter, however, confirmed the integrity of the voting.
The referendum was completely free and fair, and this is something that I have seen with my own eyes. They say 63% yes, this is the least that should be. It should have been 70 or 75%. The Egyptian people need to commit to the results of the ballot, just as we have been taught in a democracy.
Members of the opposition as well as the Muslim Brotherhood had representatives monitoring polling stations and the vote count across the country. The constitution has been approved by nearly two-thirds of Egyptian voters after days of protest by the opposition, who initially wanted Morsi to draft a new charter. Egypt's new constitution stipulates that Islam is the religion of the state and principles of Islamic law are the major source of legislation. Now, despite the allegations by the opposition, the approval of the constitution by the majority of voters is seen as marking a new chapter in post-revolution Egypt.
Well, let me welcome my guests to the program. First of all, out of Cairo, Press TV's very own correspondent, Karim Kamaluddin, and from the Muslim Brotherhood in the UK, Mr. Mohamed Banem in London, and Islamic thinker Mr. Shakir Rizq out of Cairo, political analyst Mr. Jamal Wakim out of Beirut. Well, thank you all for being with us. Well, let me start it off in Cairo with Karim. Karim, tell me overall the feel that you're getting as you're talking to people as the results of the election have come in. Do you think that there's a feeling that Egyptians now want to go on and try to unite in solidarity? Or are you still hearing whisperings of division?
Yes, Marzia, the Egyptians are divided, even though are still divided, and there's a clear state of polarization among Egyptian people, even though the unofficial tallies show that the Egyptians appear to have voted in favor of the draft document. But on the other hand, critics say that this document has sparked violent protests and has they deem it as a betrayal to the revolution, which has toppled or unseated Hosni Mubarak. The percentage in the second round of those in favor of the draft is much higher than the first round. As in the second round, about 70% of those those who casted their ballots voted in favor of the draft. But this was known for us as the 17 provinces where the second stage of the referendum was taking place were all sympathetic with President Morsi or were pro-Morsi. And the High Elections Commission have said that the results will not be announced until Monday, and they have not yet announced a specific timing where they will announce the results, but they will be hearing the appeals tomorrow. On the other hand, the opposition are, and the ruling Freedom and Justice Party are throwing accusations at each other from the even from the beginning of the elections and the final phase, as the Muslim Brotherhood claimed that Hamdine Sabahi, the former presidential candidate, have campaigned during the silence period, during the silence period of elections, for a no vote. And on the other hand, the opposition are saying that the Muslim Brotherhood have campaigned for a yes vote, and they have held banners outside polling stations. So both the heavyweight opponents, the Islam Extreme, and the opposition, the secular-led opposition, namely represented in the National Salvation Front, are throwing accusation at each other.
All right, well, stay with me, Karim. Let me get some of our other guests in. I actually want to turn to Beirut and get our political analyst out of Beirut, Mr. Jamal Waqim, in on this. Now, Mr. Waqim, our correspondent has just said that there are some that feel now that after this referendum that it's a betrayal of the revolution. Do you understand what exactly they mean by that? Because for some, it would appear that with a referendum, that it's an open forum for anyone to agree or disagree. I'd like your take on their analysis that it's a betrayal of the revolution.
Of course, for the opposition, they consider that the elections were rigged, there were pressures on the voters, and there was a large portion of the voters who didn't vote, they didn't cast their vote. So the majority isn't a big majority for the constitution, which will cause further divisions in the Egyptian society, knowing that large groups or large sections of the Egyptian society boycotted this was against this referendum and the constitution.
Why so, do you think, Mr. Waqim, why do you think they boycotted the vote? I mean, either if they were for it or not for it, why do you think that a lot of people did boycott the vote?
Because they weren't satisfied with with this constitution, but they weren't. This opposition isn't organized enough to elaborate on a program yet. But this means that they will be pushed towards elaborating an opposition program to Morsi and to the Muslim Brothers ruling over Egypt. So I believe that the crisis will go on, will continue, and we will have further dissent within the Egyptian society.
All right, well, let me turn to the UK and get that representative of the Muslim Brotherhood out of London in on this discussion, Mr. Mohammed Ghan. Now, our guest in Beirut has said that he believes that this is just going to push it basically to a head because many people feel that the Muslim Brotherhood now is forcing this upon them. I want your analysis of the situation, and do you understand what exactly they mean when the opposition says this or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think the Egyptian people have said it. Two-thirds of the Egyptian people have said yes to the referendum. That's give enough power for the political machine to take off toward more democracy, filling the vacuum, political vacuum, and building or reshape the political life in Egypt in more democracy. But when they say the Egyptian people, there's no evidence whatsoever, but say the Egyptian people is voted for going forward by voting yes. But for the opposition, by definition, if they have enough dignity to accept the defeat in that referendum, they should stop being stubborn and they should go forward and taking that an excuse to stay behind. That is not going to benefit neither them nor the Egyptian people. We are in the bridge to rebuild the country. We know the previous regime has corrupted all over the every aspect, political and economic and social. And in order to rebuild it, we have to go forward, fulfill the political vacuum, building the new constitution as this referendum confirmed, building the other institution, getting the parliament, the other house of elected, making the government and giving a prime minister to share with the Mr. Morsi, the president, the authority to push Egypt forward, especially economic, because Egypt, unfortunately, has been subject for suppression and distortion and destroying all the resources of Egypt. Rebuilding that needs time and need planning and organization. Just being stubborn mm-hmm. and having that excuse to stay behind is not going to benefit anyone.
Okay, well, let me get Mr. Shakir Rizg in on this. Mr. Rizg, your perspective, is it just meaning basically, as our guest Mr. Ghanem has said in London, a matter of the opposition being stubborn and not wanting this to go ahead? Or is it something more to what exactly they're saying?
Well, I should assure what my colleague mentioned right now and defining the opposition as being stubborn and not accepting the results of the referendum on the constitution draft. And we are at a point now to start building the community to the country, to start building the institutions of the country. This is actually a very transparent way of democracy that we had over the past 2 weeks, starting the referendum on the first session and the second session yesterday, coming out with two-thirds of voters saying yes to the constitution, and as my colleague mentioned, filling in the gap of the political power and the vacuum in the country. The opposition actually is stubborn and not allowing the community and the Morsi, the president, to move to start the reclamation of the whole society socially, politically, economically, and to start a state in the full sense of the word. They are trying to stop the stability and make it on the ground as if we are living in chaos and insecurity. I would say that to the reporter actually reported as this sort of betrayal of the revolution. I would like to tell him and to tell those in the opposition party, the Muslim Brotherhood and President Morsi and the referendum that took place yesterday and a week ago is the first step for the achieving of the motives and the objectives of the revolution.
Okay.
This is the revolution actually came out with starting having a lot of things to achieve. One of them is to have a constitution, and on the constitution they start building a society, a community, and this sort of having the guns to shoot the President Morsi and the government, as well as the constitution, which was actually drafted by the different sects of the society. The differences
okay.
of
All right. Well, let me turn back to Beirut.
Community.
I want to get Mr. Jamal Joaquim back in on this. Mr. Joaquim, your perspective at this point in time, now that the referendum has taken place and the majority have voted, 64% have voted in favor of it. Do you think it is in the interest of the country now to move on and try to work together and go with the new constitution in order to try to get some stability almost 2 years after this revolution has taken place?
Of course, stability is needed in Egypt, but that depends also on the economic and political agenda of the new regime. How Egypt will be rebuilt, based on which economic program, and how large sections of the Egyptian society that were marginalized in the previous regime, how could they be reintegrated? This is the big challenge to President Morsi and his cabinet. So I believe that the President Morsi and the Muslim Brothers, they have an economic agenda based on neoliberal guidelines, more privatization, more market economy. And I believe that this will alienate large sections of the Egyptian population, which will turn eventually to the opposition.
Let me just jump in here. So what then would you propose at this point in time, because now the referendum has just taken place, you're saying that there's a possibility that their economic program is going to be based on neoliberalism that will cause more alienation in the society. But at this point in time, when the majority of Egyptians have voted in favor of this, what would you propose in order to bring more unity to the country, Mr. Joaquim?
I believe that President Morsi should have accommodated the demands of many groups in the opposition, not all groups, but many groups could have been accommodated by giving them certain concessions. I believe that the stance of President Morsi alienated these groups and made them turn to other groups who were part of the previous regime. Now they are allies in the same front against President Morsi. So with time, I believe that with this neoliberal agenda, more people will turn to the opposition.
Okay.
And this will make an erosion in the bases or in the popularity of the president.
All right, well, let me get Mr. Rizq, Shahid Rizq, back in on this out of Cairo. Your take, Mr. Rizq, do you think, as our guest has said in Beirut, that because of what Mr. Morsi has done, that it's actually going to cause more alienization of the opposition?
I don't think so. I actually disagree with my colleague and say that This is a false prediction on his part to say that the economic program and the privatization of the liberal economy that Mr. Morsi and the government is undertaking now is going to alienate some groups of the society and put them to the group of the opposition. This is untrue, because in the old regime of Mubarak and his people, actually could do this sort of privatization and capitalism. They were having the money, they were having the power, and the President Morsi actually is having the opposite. He's having all sects of the society to come into the economy, to build the economy of the country, taking into consideration the public, the majority of the people in Egypt, the society, giving the chances to people for labor and work, having the industry and agriculture in for the sake of the peasants, the farmers, and the people who workers in factories. He is not doing this as 100% privatization, but he's giving some sort of liberal economy to people who can invest in the society, in the country, either from inside or from outside. We are living in a recession now in Egypt. A couple of years now, we're having some sort of recession in the country. We need to have some sort of collaboration between all sects of the people in the society. And
right.
President Morsi is actually not calling for a certain group, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, as my colleague mentioned. This is untrue. Those are constituting some sort of 5%, 5 to 10% of the economy of the country.
Okay, well, stay with me, Mr. Rezgag, because I want to get everybody back in on this. Turning to Mr. Ghanem, one of the concerns, it seems, that the opposition is saying, they're voicing their concerns and saying that a constitution based on Islam will actually take Egypt back in time. Can an Islamic constitution, or Sharia, be implemented along with equality and fairness? Because according to the opposition, they're using words like basically a loss of freedom, a loss of rights, a loss of human rights. What's your take on their criticism, Mr. Ghanem?
Well, Islam was always in Muslim Egypt society, but all in the Arab world, in the Middle East. And it's not something new to this constitution. It was always there. But what I would like to mention to your honorable friend there, when he mentioned this analyzation or polarization, this is not such an ingredient for democracy. The ingredient for democracy is opposition. And opposition is very important. And they have to play the role, as democracies say. Changing power has to take place. And by election only, you can't change the people in power. And if they work, they are seriously, they should work as opposition and not to claim all these undefined concept. They just force it to the process. The Egyptian people are very clever. They proved to know what they want to go, and they decided the way. But for these words, capitalism and all these, this is we passed that age. We have today's, we manage resources. And once you get democracy and you get a parliament and government being elected, they are accountable for their action, then you can guarantee the efficiency of running the economy, regardless of all these labels, which it doesn't really mean too much these days. And let us do that. Let us go for democracy. And don't contradict yourself. In one hand, you accept democracy and democratic process. On the other hand, you claim you're not going to accept the result. That's not going to, as you're pulling the train back, that's not on. If you want to be positive to the Egyptian people, you should go with the Egyptian people wish. And this referendum was very clear that the Egyptian people have chosen to go forward for democracy, and they are the only power and the only authority which decide who should be in power.
Okay.
As a test, if they don't like it, next election, they will get rid of them.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Mr. Mohammed Ghanem from the Muslim Brotherhood in the UK. Also, I'd like to thank our Press TV correspondent, Karim Kamaluddin, in Cairo, and also from Cairo, Mr. Shankar Rizq, Islamic thinker, and from Beirut, political analyst, Mr. Jamal Wakim. And as always, viewers, we thank you for being with us, joining us at right here in News Analysis. Make sure you do the same thing tomorrow right here. I'm Marzieh Hashimi, signing off for myself and all the crew here in Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us, and goodbye.